When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. In Britain, you're in the drive time. Good evening, afternoon going on evening. And over in America, good afternoon. And in some parts of America, good morning. Happy to see you today. What a brilliant time I had on yesterday's show. Some of the people I've been speaking to are the most savvy journalists, researchers, and commentators on the scene. You don't hear anything like this on the mainstream, and I am blessed to have the opportunity to bring you some of the best indie media has to offer. Still, finding powerful voices who tell it like it is and have the confidence, knowledge, and experience to explain their position is very difficult, so I do want your help. If any of you have any suggestions of who you'd like to see me chat with, then get in touch, because you can get in touch either here on TNT, on Twitter, at Johnny Vedmore, wherever. I don't mind hearing your suggestions at all. I love it. Remember, I like to challenge people, so the guests which you put forward don't have to be aligned with my point of view. We are allowed to speak to everyone to gain a consensus opinion. On the Johnny Vedmore Show, we are allowed to debate. We are allowed to disagree. We are allowed to forge a new consensus and a vision of the world which is in accordance with our core collective beliefs. So do it. Think about the topics you want to see discussed and don't put any limits on how you want to see it discussed. I am willing to talk to anyone about anything at all, as long as they're willing to speak to me. However, I will always challenge those who I believe should be challenged at the time I think they should be challenged. And rather than a passionate monologue to start off today's show, I want to give a passionate thank you to all of you who have made this show possible. That's not only TNT Radio, who've given me a platform with the strict instructions that I discuss any topic I want with no restrictions on the guests I have on, but to the watchers and supporters, and of course, to all the guys who go on tntradio.live and get in the chat to interact. Everybody's in there at the moment, talking away. Gold Eagle giving paragraphs of information. Lord Melbury, Mr. Moose Hope, Love and Peace, Sydney Adams, Eileen Smith, Renegade. Of course, we're waiting for Wild Heather and Little Carol to join in, but we can always expect them because there's a good bunch of people who regularly go in the chat. Throughout my time at TNT, I've really enjoyed one thing in particular. That is asking my guests questions and discovering that someone in the chat gives me the follow-up question which I wouldn't have thought about asking. Having that kind of intellectual backup on hand is something very special for me. And you guys really push the boundaries, sometimes in ways which even I find uncomfortable. And I love to feel uncomfortable because it suggests to me that we are making headway. So I love you guys. I love what you do to me, do for me and to me. I love what you do for the show. And as long as I have this platform, I will work with you to bring on the best and the brightest and to ask the questions which truly matter. Today, we have Joseph Sanson on the show and Peter Quinones, I think you pronounce it. Both of these men have fantastic minds, and I'm sure you'll all take something from these conversations. And tomorrow we'll have Jay Dyer and Courtney Turner coming on. And remember, on Friday, we'll be talking to our resident psychologist, Dr. Heath, on the psychology of blue pills, red pills, and black pills. And that will be another conversation you won't want to miss. But just to reiterate, we live in a crazy world which is coming off the proverbial rails. We cannot navigate these choppy waters alone. We all need to brace ourselves, find our tribes, and protect our loved ones from the damage that the more nefarious actors within our society are doing to this beautiful world we live in. We can only do that together, and we can only do that by focusing on the facts and then discussing with each other the intricacies and the nuances surrounding those facts. But most importantly, thank you, my friends, for joining me on this journey. And an interesting journey it is. It'll be another interesting journey today. Now, at TNT, we never go home. We are committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of the time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we've got you covered on TNT.
Giving you what you want.
I want the facts.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, people, for the first time since its war with Hamas began in October, Israel has provided an estimate of civilian death toll in Gaza, claiming that its forces are setting up a new gold standard for minimizing harm to non-combatants in an urban conflict. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Ruckus, tell us more about this.
Wow, Johnny, they corrected the numbers, right? And they still don't look good. Yeah. So I'm like, what kind of argument is this? They're like, oh, no, we didn't kill this many tens of thousands of innocent civilians. We only killed this many tens of thousands of innocent civilians. What? That's still too many. And now they're saying this is the gold standard. If the gold standard is going to be at least one to close to two innocent civilians for every fighter, that's the gold standard. Count me the F out. This is sick. There's been a lot of tit for tat, a little argument from both sides about what the actual numbers are. And now I think we have an official Wikipedia entry type fact truth coming out about these numbers. So we're going to take it as is. As I said, it's still not good. It still doesn't make Israel look good, but they're running around like, hey, see, we're doing great. What are you talking about? All right, let's start with this. Speaking in an online video statement on Monday, Israeli government spokesman Avi Haiman pegged the war deaths in Gaza at over 14,000 quote-unquote terrorists, okay, and around 16,000 civilians. Do I need to get a calculator and see which number is higher? It's the civilians. Local health authorities in the Hamas-governed Palestinian enclave have reported more than 35,000 deaths, claiming that most of the deceased were women and children. And Israel had a big problem with that. There were screaming up and down. Conservative media in the West will say, there's no way, you can't believe the numbers at 35,000. Okay, let me get a calculator real quick. What's 14,000 plus 16,000? That's 30,000, okay? So they've been arguing this whole time over 5,000. I mean, come on. Anyway, just wanted to point that out. Haiman scolded media outlets and the United Nations for reporting Hamas casualty claims as fact, saying Israel had been condemned globally based on, quote, unquote, fake and fabricated numbers. Now that the Israeli government has released its statement, he added, quote, we would expect everyone to now take these figures as a genuine estimate from a free democratic country that fights in strict accordance with the laws of armed conflict in one of the most challenging urban warfare scenarios in history, end quote. Yes, it's particularly challenging for those unarmed women and children. The spokesman said Israel views every civilian casualty as a tragedy. He blamed Hamas for the deaths, accusing the militant group of using non-combatants as, you guessed it, human shields. He told Fox News, quote, in reality, Israel is setting the new gold standard for urban warfare with what appears to be the lowest civilian to combatant casualty ratio in history, end quote. I would argue we could do better. The Israeli statement comes less than 1 week after Haiman was grilled by podcast host Piers Morgan for having, quote, no idea how many civilians you've killed, end quote. It also comes after the UN cut its estimate last week for the number of women and children killed in Gaza by nearly half, as if that makes it better. The UN revision was driven by a decision to report the figures based on the nearly 25,000 fatalities for which Gaza health officials have complete details rather than including the more than 10,000 people who are estimated to be, quote, missing or under the rubble, end quote. I'm sure they're fine. The UN has not suggested that the Hamas fighters were inflated. The World Health Organization said on Tuesday that it sees, quote unquote, nothing wrong with the figures reported by local health officials. The casualty breakdown provided by Gaza authorities was about 40% men, 20% women, 32% children, and 8% elderly. Even by the Israeli estimate, we're looking at about 53 to 56% of the deceased in Gaza are civilians. Real quick, Johnny, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken noted on Sunday that Israeli forces had killed more Palestinian civilians than Hamas fighters. He said Washington agrees with the Israeli casualty estimates. This, of course, was before he jaunted off for a secret super squirrel surprise visit in Ukraine, where he rocked out on the guitar and played a concert for everybody, rocking in the free world. And then today he announced another $2 billion in foreign military financing for Kyiv. Anyways, Johnny, there's the report. What say you?
Well, watching Antony Blinken on the guitar made me sad about being a guitarist, to be honest. I have to admit that. That was a moment in history I didn't want to see. And we've been saying, and I said in the monologue, one of the monologues yesterday, you know, the majority of people who have been killed since the past 75 years since Israel's creation have been civilians. This is a continuation. And the gold standard is more civilian killed than fighters. That just seems insane. And of course, the more martyrs they make, the more the line of potential martyrs in the future. It's all about maths. And they know this. They want a continuation of war. They want perpetual limited warfare that eventually ends. Perpetual limited warfare is meant to go on forever. But for the people of Gaza, they can only go on for a certain amount of time before suddenly the West Bank is the next target. And we know that the West Bank's probably going to be targeted eventually. We also know from what Turkey and Erdogan was saying that there's 1,000 Hamas fighters who are in hospital in Israel. So how possibly will they wipe out all of these so-called terrorists who are also classified as freedom fighters and resistance by many people around the world? To see those numbers and to hear them say it like they should be proud makes me wonder where we're going and what our morals and ethics are like in the Western world supporting this sort of stuff, because I just can't believe that they are. Then they also label these people terrorists, you know. This is how many terrorists. But what they're talking about is military-aged men. And some of those military-aged men, of course, have been targeted by Lavender. So they have a quick idea, and a soldier at the IDF quickly look, say, oh, yeah, that's a man, press strike button. Just because you're a man doesn't mean that you're a Hamas fighter. But this is the way it's going. And for people who have kept an eye on how the technology is developing in Gaza, in Israel, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. The drones they've developed now can go in and do search and destroy in the houses, and it's not going to be humans who are deciding on the targets. We are entering a new stage. We are entering fifth generation warfare as a matter of fact, and the gold standard is going to be, well, the AI tagged them, so it's not really our responsibility anymore. And I mean, you, as well as that, can you imagine Hamas is not recruiting the older people? They're going to have to recruit teenagers and stuff as well in a fight for resistance. So this is going to be children who have been forced to fight as well, who are being murdered. And it is a terrible state of affairs. And I'm glad they've actually come out with some figures, because for a long time I was quoting the UN figures, and the UN, everybody would say, oh, they're terribly wrong. They're terribly wrong. They're obviously wrong. But it's all nuanced, isn't it? And they're not that wrong. They're right in the fact that more civilians are being targeted than military-aged males. Remember that term that they like to use, or terrorists in Israeli terms. This is an awful state of affairs. Did you say it was about 53% to 47% ratio then?
I think, well, it's at least, it's over half. I was just doing quick math in my head. There was also a report where they were looking at the numbers, breaking it down, saying, I believe this is coming from the World Health Organization, that said this means that we can expect at least 56%, specifically women and children, among the dead, which is shocking. And then the WHO spokesman, Christian Lindmeier, on Tuesday, talking about this new breakdown, he called it the most comprehensive provided to date. He made an excellent point that no one's really talking about except in this one report here. He says that this his number about the 56% women and children does not take into consideration the likelihood that more women and children were likely to be among the thousands believed to be under the rubble because, quote, they are the ones typically staying at home, end quote. So as the numbers continue to, as we learn more, we will probably see a shockingly high number of not just civilian casualties, but how much of that is truly women and children. And if Israel still wants to consider that the gold standard, well, good luck with that, because I think, you know, countries like Iran might want to say something about it.
Yeah, and we all know that Israel's figures won't be accurate. They'll be slanted towards Israel's propaganda machine. Thank you for bringing us that very sad news, Adam. We will definitely catch up in the second hour and talk more. And I'll also probably talk with my second guest more about the conflict too. So thank you for that. I'll see you in the next hour, my friend.
Right, we'll talk then.
Awesome. Right, you are listening. We are on the Johnny Bedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Alex Zaharoff-Roy.
We also have a new smartphone from Google, the Pixel 8a. Reviews are not able to be shared yet, but it has most of the features of the Pixel 8 at a sort of a similar price in the States. I mean, in Australia, it's a couple of $100 difference, but it does have all of that AI goodness that Google has been sharing, the at the bottom where the white line is, at the bottom of the screen, and you can see the screen shimmer, and then you can do a circle to search. So you see something on the screen, someone's got a pair of sneakers or there's a computer, something there, you can draw a circle around it, and then Google will show that to you. It's got other features inside where you can summarize information that you've recorded to a voice recorder, and their big developer conference is also on next week, called Google I/O. So Apple in a month, Google next week. There'll be a preview of Android 15 and lots of AI things that we're yet to see.
Talking Tech with Alex Zaharoff-Reut on today's News Talk TNT. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. Now, the conversation isn't going to get any easier than that conversation we were just having about the new figures that have come out of Gaza. My next guest this hour on the Johnny Vedmore Show is the very impressive Dr. Joseph Sansone, who is a psychotherapist opposed to psychopathic authoritarianism. I'm with him there. Dr. Sansone is the author of Ban the Jab Resolution, passed by 10 Florida Republican county parties and county parties across the country, as well as Idaho Republican Party and the Arizona Republican Party. The resolution declares COVID-19 and mRNA injections to be biological and technological weapons, and calls for the governor to prohibit their distribution and the attorney general to confiscate the vials. Completely agreed. Dr. Sansone writes regularly at josephsansone.substack.com, last name S-A-N-S-O-N-E. Dr. Sansone, thanks for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show to talk about your vital work. I hope you're finding everything well today and you're in good spirits.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Johnny. Appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you coming on. I really appreciate your work. I mean, researching what you're doing, It's vital. So to begin, you had some success at the end of last month as well, when the Arizona Republican Party, as you term it, declared COVID-19 injections biological and technological weapons and passed a resolution to ban the jabs. Can you tell my audience about that success?
Sure. This actually started, well, really, I started working on this back in May of 2021, but we got the first countywide resolution passed in February of 2023 down here in Florida. It was a county Republican Party, and then we've had about 10 counties in Florida pass these resolutions, and then the Idaho Republican Party. And recently, I reached out to Dan Schultz of precinctstrategy.com. And he got the resolution introduced and passed in Maricopa County, Arizona. And then the Arizona Republican Party went ahead and passed the resolution. These resolutions are symbolic in nature. They're not like legislation because it's a political party. But the idea behind them is to put pressure on our worthless politicians while at the same time giving them a little cover to do the right thing, to stand up and speak out against the ongoing genocide that's occurring in the United States and really the rest of the world. These COVID-19 injections, the mRNA injections, are biological and technological weapons of mass destruction. I've had that going back a little bit. When we had that first resolution passed, before I even presented it, I shared it with Dr. Francis Boyle, who is the Harvard-educated law professor, wrote the 1989 Bioweapons and Anti-Terrorism Act. He wrote the 72 treaty before that on biological weapons, one of the world's leading legal authorities on biological weapons. He agreed that these met the criteria of biological weapons according to the federal law he drafted, as well as Florida's law at the time. So it's not like I'm just saying this. Legal experts and medical experts are saying it as well. I think this passing in Arizona is pretty big, and the more people that know about it, the better, because what the party is basically doing is saying the emperor has no clothes. And people, and hopefully this will also give a little courage to some of these medical doctors that are out there in the freedom movement that are speaking on this, because people kind of dance around this. And the reality is that these are weapons. They're designed to harm. And that needs to be stated clearly. And, you know, this is kind of, we're trying to lead toward basically getting one jurisdiction to actually prohibit these weapons in their jurisdiction. Now, in Florida, I have filed on March 3rd what's called a writ of mandamus. And mandamus is Latin for we command. And what I filed that in the Supreme Court on March 3rd. And that basically is me trying to get the court to compel Governor DeSantis here in Florida to prohibit the distribution of the injections and to get the attorney general to confiscate the vials. The Supreme Court in Florida transferred it to our circuit court in Leon County, which is where our state capital is, on March 20th. On April 9th, they dismissed it. I filed a motion to reconsider. It was dismissed. I filed a motion for rehearing, which was dismissed. And so now I filed a notice of appeal, and I'm working on my appellate brief. But just to give you an idea, in the original writ of mandamus, Karen Kingston put together the research that makes up the facts of the case. And there's a 74-page brief, but the facts of the case shows you the hard evidence that these are weapons of mass destruction, you know, studies, pharmaceutical documents, and so on. And then in my motion for rehearing, you know, I introduced legislation showing that it's appropriate to use a writ of mandamus for what we're trying to do. Now, I'm going to admit it's a creative use for one. But what the court basically said is you can only use a writ of mandamus to compel what's called a ministerial duty. That would be like the governor has to appoint someone within 60 days to fill a vacancy, that kind of thing. And you can't tell them how to do the job. So the manner of how they conduct their duties, right? But I found case law which shows that you can compel a discretionary duty if there's an abuse of that duty. I'm going to make the wild argument that if people are getting disease, disability, and death in mass, that maybe we're abusing our duty by not enforcing these laws. And I've also found case law supporting using writs of mandamus to protect constitutional rights. Like they used it with segregation. Like say a black guy wanted to go to a law school, like literally used a writ of mandamus in the past to compel the law schools to let him in there. So I think we're okay legally. The question is whether the appellate court will see it that way or not. I don't know. But, you know, if this path gets blocked, we'll find another one because the genocide's going to stop. We're not going to let them continue to kill our people.
Just a quick question before we skip to a 30-second news break. You obviously have had lots of success with getting Republicans to push forward in this. I take it there's no equal sort of campaign going on the Democrat side.
No, not that I'm aware of. I'd certainly welcome it. But I got to tell you, it's not easy with the Republicans either. Because remember, the purpose of the Republican Party is to be controlled opposition. So what we've got is many people coming into these county level parties trying to take the party over from within. That's how we're getting these resolutions passed. But it's a battle.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll take a quick news break. I got loads of questions for you. You've obviously got a fantastic mind for this. You've got a lot of knowledge. I love exploring these things especially. So we'll come back just after a short news break on today's News Talk TNT.
Oh, yeah? We interrupt the regular programming to bring you some breaking news.
Breaking news. Newsflash.
Now, TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Angela Alsobrooks won the Democratic state primary in Maryland, defeating Representative David Trone and setting up a race against former Governor Larry Hogan, who secured the GOP nomination. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed the Federal Aviation Administration Reauthorization Bill, which has now been sent to President Joe Biden for signature following Senate approval. The bill, set to extend FAA programs through fiscal year 2028, allocates over $105 billion to the agency.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
So, Joseph, the Ban the Jabs campaign is clearly one of the most important campaigns I've heard of over the past few years. How did it start, and how effective has it been for raising awareness of the danger of these jabs to humanity as a whole?
Well, it probably started when I'm an old political animal from the 90s. I was a chair in Pat Buchanan's presidential campaign, so I've been awake to this new world order since 1991, I guess. But I was kind of out of everything for a couple decades. And I walked around and saw a bunch of crazy people wearing masks and things like that and standing 6 feet apart, you know. And so it's why I say I'm a psychotherapist opposed to psychopathic authoritarianism. I have to admit, I think I probably stole that from Ron Paul when he diagnosed Congress as being psychopathic authoritarians when he left Congress. But I just, you know, I looked around. I'm like, this is, you know, everything we talked about in the 90s is happening right now. So none of it was wrong. And that's what's scary about this in a way. But we started pushing back on coerced masks and like we had some resolutions declaring forced masks, lockdowns or injections to be Nuremberg crimes and violating the Ninth Amendment and so on. And we started pushing back on that. What happened here in Florida is, you know, DeSantis did his 4-month lockdown and all that, but it was bubbling up because in Florida, everybody owns guns. So what was happening is people were getting guns pulled on them in Walmarts and stuff like that. So the governor backed off. People think he protected our liberty here. No, he just was smart enough to back off before it all blew up on him, because then he'd have to be the heavy-handed authoritarian. So now he gets to say he protected our freedoms when really he just backed up when he had to. But so it started with that. And then I realized, you know, as a psychotherapist, I specialize in clinical hypnosis. So I started thinking like, well, you're really not going to win the argument here if you're going to debate whether a bioweapon should be mandated or not. So let's just go after what it is, just like an attorney going after the opposing side's strongest argument. From an Ericksonian hypnosis point of view, there's an embedded command that it's okay to mandate a bioweapon or to take one, you know, if you're going to debate whether it should be mandated. So we had to reframe that a little bit. When we passed the first resolution, in a normal world, this would have been across every talk radio station when we passed that in February of 2023. What happened was we had our local party had a press release, and we put it out through PR Web and PR Newswire. They censored that press release. So one of the two major parties in America, I mean, get it, it's a county level, but still, we had an actual vote on something that got censored because they said it went against CDC standards And it incited fear, if you can believe that. So after they did this massive terrorism campaign, scaring people left and right, you know, and so I was like the one guy for 4 months going through the grocery store every day without a mask. Once in a while, I'd see like somebody else without a mask. I would literally wave and smile and say, "Hey, normal guy, how you doing?" You know, so and I was ready. I was ready to use deadly force if someone tried to put a mask on me. But and I got a little delayed. I don't know if you know, I had triple bypass heart surgery last April, actually, just over a year ago. I got kind of sick. It delayed me a little bit. But I was actually working on this while I was in the hospital. I got Dr. Francis Boyle to actually endorse the bandage ab resolution in writing. So I think it would be a lot more effective if it weren't for the censorship. So we're trying to cut through the censorship. But I want people to understand, too, because a lot of people think that just because I'm focusing on this, that I'm not aware of the geoengineering or, you know, them trying to put the mRNA in the food or anything. No, I am. But this is such a high concentration. I think we need to get these off the market. Some people are thinking it's too late, but it still has to be done for a few reasons. We want to pave the way for future prosecutions, but also the shedding is a real issue. It's serious. My colleague, Dr. Anna Mahalchia, she specializes in dealing with unvaccinated victims of the shedding, people that get sick from the shedding. I know doctors like that are treating a lot of vaccine injured patients that are getting sick from the shedding, but also people that got the shots all have damaged immune systems. According to all the medical doctors I speak to that actually treat patients, you know, like Dr. Vila, who's in the Villages here in Florida, which is this huge senior community. I think it's the largest in the country. And she's treating 3,500 vaccine injured, quote unquote, vaccine injured patients. If you need a break, just tell me. If we got a commercial coming, just interrupt me. But I just go, so just interrupt me. Joe, shut up. We got a break, you know, that kind of thing. So she's treating 3,500 vaccine injured patients, and, you know, because other doctors in the area won't treat them. So, and you know, she's got to be concerned about her own health, but also what she's telling me is based on what she's looking at, everybody that got the shot has a damaged immune system. And this is important for people to understand, because this is not a judgment on people that got the shot. They're actually the ones we're trying to protect the most right now, because everybody, 100% of the people have contaminated blood right now, even the unvaccinated, but the people that got the shots have damaged immune systems. So every time someone gets boosted and they're shedding this technology on them, those people are at a higher risk. And so they're getting sick and they don't realize they're getting these turbo cancers, they're getting these heart conditions because of these injections and because mm-hmm. people keep getting these injections. So they baited us like insects. Well, let's stop them from baiting us. That should be our first step.
Yeah, most definitely. And I tell you, you said so many things there. And everybody listening at home will have the same reaction as me. They'll remember all of these little experiences. You know, when you talk about being the only unmasked person around, I was living in Chile and absolutely every single person in Chile had a mask on. They had masks on their babies even. I mean, it was just insane. And it was a mask mandate. You couldn't even walk in the street without mask. You had to have a 2-hour permission slip to that you go out a week and do your shopping. And I remember standing there without a mask in a supermarket, and I was making the point to the lady. I was holding my baby. I was buying nappies and baby food, and she refused to serve me. And I was saying, "Look at what you're doing here. Don't you understand what you're doing here? You're denying baby food, you're denying nappies because I'm not wearing a mask, and it just seems inhumane." I remember standing outside a supermarket and looking at a long line of people outside waiting to go in the market, supermarket, and there was a woman outside. This was in Britain now. There was a woman outside who was organizing everybody and telling everybody what to do. And people were getting confused and annoyed, and some people would just had their heads down. And I wanted to go in the supermarket, but once I saw this, I didn't want to go in the supermarket anymore. I wanted to stand outside and observe how people's psychology was under these pressures. I listened to just yesterday, I was in a pub where I heard these are kids. I consider them kids. They were probably about 20 years old, 21 years old, college students, and they're all swapping stories about which jabs they had. Oh, I had 2 Pfizer, and I had so-and-so, and I had so-and-so. And I really wanted to say to them, how do you feel? Because when you're talking about the damage it was done, I mean, even my father was, he was in his 70s. He was teaching police Kashinkai karate before he had the jab. Now he's shaking all over the place. And he says himself, he doesn't think he's got long left. And these people have a hard time relating these injuries to the jabs. And it just seems completely insane. If you were speaking to someone who believes the establishment narratives concerning the jabs, how would you describe what the COVID injections really were and what they contained?
Well, first, let me say, you know how when you ask, like, who would have, you know, who were the people to just look the other way in Nazi Germany or Soviet Union? You saw them. These are the same people that would have, they would have looked the other way back then. So very few people have this thing called courage and integrity, I guess. What would I say to people that are still buying into the narrative? I think that I would probably focus more on the people that are awake and not doing anything, because I think we need to energize those people to be able to tilt the other people, because I think there's a diffusion. I will answer the question, but I think you ever see those social psychology studies, you know, the social psychologists are nuts, right? So we ever see the studies where they'll show like the guy lying down on the steps in the front of City Hall and like it's a busy street and people just keep walking by. Nobody even stops and sees that the guy's okay. Because there's a diffusion of responsibility, and eventually someone will check on the guy. But in, you know, if you, but if they do the same thing in a more isolated area where there's no one else around, and you're walking by, you see someone lying down on the side of the street, you're like, "Hey, you're all right." So I think what's going on right now is there's a diffusion of responsibility. People are expecting someone else to do it, and I think that part of that's been fueled by a lot of this, you know, the whole white hats are out there trying to rescue you nonsense, and no one is going to rescue you. Let me tell you something. There are 360 million people in America, approximately. I am the only one that I'm aware of that has litigation that's trying to force their governor to take these weapons off the market. That mean if that's where we're at, that means that there is no one behind us to save us. There's no one going to rescue you. You need to get up and do it. And that's really important. People need to wake up. Whatever you can do in your neck of the woods to wake other people up and to do something. Now, regarding what you're talking about with people that aren't awake, I think I'm just going to ask. I think I just start kind of slowly, maybe use the Socratic method, start asking them questions like, well, what do you think, you know, what's changed to, you know, I don't remember, you know, six-year-olds getting heart problems and strokes. I mean, unless they were born with a heart issue. Now, I don't remember seeing, you know, 22-year-old soccer players dropping dead so often. What's causing this? What do you think? I mean, and then try to slowly draw the link. Where it gets difficult is when, you know, somebody who's sick, you don't want to sit here and say, I told you so. You know, I know people with cancers and that kind of thing. You kind of try to do it in a nice way, but you don't want to be, you know, what's the point? But the reality here's the thing. If people you know and love are being murdered, they're given turbo cancers, they're being given heart conditions, strokes, autoimmune diseases, if that doesn't wake you up to start taking action, what in the world would possibly do it?
Yeah, it's a brilliant way to put it. I've had that same experience with people where they tell me they've got cancer and they tell me they've got these other ailments now and they're not connecting them at all. And I think to myself, this isn't the moment where I can say anything apart from feel very sad for those people, because otherwise I'm, you know, you're just bringing more bad news. I agree with you. We aim at the people who have already woken up, who aren't active. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. You're listening to today's News Talk TNT.
I was a quarterback at Hardaway High School, college first round draft pick. On and off the field, we were taught to not show any signs of weakness. During the football season, I would stop eating. But I didn't know I was depressed. I thought that something was wrong with me. For 20 plus years, was physical, physical, physical. We didn't have any education behind what mental health was. I started to learn it starts here first. If this is together, I'll be better as a father, as a man, and as a husband. Put the importance on your mental health. I'm not scared to talk about it anymore. The first tool is therapy. The second one is positive self-talk. And then journaling, putting your thoughts on paper.
We have to redefine what being a strong man is
and heal, love your mind.
What do I love about riding? It's the thrill, the excitement. Riding gives me a sense of freedom. I feel so connected to the road. Riding is like therapy to me. It makes me feel alive. Love riding? Back off.
This is Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk. TNT.
Hello, welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. I'm here with Dr. Joseph Sansone. We're having a brilliant, it's brilliant to discuss this stuff with someone who has a really wide knowledge, and it makes me, I've got so many questions for you. But one of the things you were talking about as well was spreading, shedding. We'll get onto that very soon. But first of all, what is self-spreading nanotechnology for the uneducated among us, and why should we be very concerned?
Well, first of all, I want people to understand, in Pfizer's own documents, they talk about shedding. Like, for instance, they talk in their documents about, like, let's say if I got the shot and I go home through skin or respiratory contact, my pregnant wife could have a miscarriage. So Pfizer talks about the shedding. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can look at the patents that are out there that I know Karen Kingston's done a lot of research on, and the pharmaceutical patents and stuff. But also my colleague, Dr. Anna Mahalchia, she's an MD with a PhD in pathology, so she's certainly qualified to look through a microscope. She's done tons of research that she puts out on her Substack regularly. She's documented on video the self-assembling technology. Now, obviously, you're not seeing these particles when they're nano-sized, but they assemble. And she documents the construction sites where they create these hydrogel mounds, which is like programmable matter. And she even shows you how basically these blue filaments are being created, which become these biosynthetic blood clots. You see them pulling out of people, these white fibrous blood clots. And what's interesting about that is she got some material from Richard Hirschman, the embalmer, that kind of first broke the story about those blood clots. And she analyzed that for the chemical composition, but she also shows you on video the self-assembly that's occurring from the blood of a cadaver that's 8 months old. So this is 8 months after you're dead in your own blood. The self-assembling technology is still going on. And so my understanding of it is that light, temperature, frequency are all catalysts that can cause this stuff to get into action. Now, with the nanoparticles themselves, we really have no idea what the payload is. I don't know what's in there. Now, in Florida, and this is the irony of the litigation I got going on right here, the Florida Department of Health has called for a halt to these shots, but they're still on the market. If I go to my local pharmacy, they got signs up there to poison 3-year-olds with this stuff, 3 years old and up. And so literally, our Surgeon General has called these the Antichrist of drugs. And he basically says that these are a threat to the human genome. And the reality is it's changing, it's altering people's DNA, and we don't know what that's going to do for future generations. We do know that there's lower birth rates occurring, and you're having higher mortality, and we know that's probably going to get worse with each year, because here's the thing, like, I have type 1 diabetes. The average lifespan of someone with type 1 diabetes is 15 years less than someone else. It's an autoimmune disease, right? So if everybody that got the injection has an autoimmune disease, we don't know how that's going to progress, but I can tell you one thing, 10 years from now, more of them will not be alive than would have been. You're shortening people's lifespans. We don't know by how much, let alone the turbo cancers and the heart conditions, all that. So we are kind of looking at a massive depopulation campaign. The best way that I can understand this is these psychopathic authoritarians who are, I guess, real radical materialists, they're experimenting on the human race to find a way to live forever. They want to merge humanity with technology while they're depopulating us. And you know who pointed this out to me? Dr. Rima Laibow, but go read the first four chapters of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, and you kind of get an idea of what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're depopulation, they're basically depopulating while at the same time they want to keep some of us around for spare parts to experiment with, and then the other ones will be slaves, basically.
Some of what you're saying I have in question form for you in a little bit as well, because that's the way I kind of see it too. So just to go back to the original question, and objectively this question is put, I've seen many of these images of the supposed nanoparticles of every shape and size over the past few years. How are people who don't have high resolution digital microscopes meant to prove or disprove their presence in the bloodstream of the vaccinated or of the unvaccinated?
I don't know. I know that Dr. Mahalchia gets her camera, the camera comes with the microscope, but she gets it from a company out of South Africa called Neogenesis Systems. So it's a $7,000 microscope. So I think it's like 4,000 times stronger or something like that. You probably could see stuff with a less powered microscope, just not to that detail. I've had someone locally look at my blood here because she's in Washington State, but people need to understand, it's not like you can ship your blood with this. You're literally getting a drop of blood, putting it on a slide, and they're looking at it in the microscope. And I've had someone looking at my blood here, and they found a little bit of stuff in there. In fact, I want to go back and see if it's gotten worse. But now I know doctors, like literally Dr. Vila, she's treating these patients. What she does is she's actually doing high dose vitamin C IV while she's seeing her patients to protect herself, because she's that aware of it. Because I guess apparently, and I'm not a medical doctor, I'm a psychotherapist, but what they're explaining to me is high dose vitamin C has a chelating effect. Now, Dr. Mahalchia will talk about using EDTA chelation therapy to clean out your blood. And so the idea is to keep it as clean as you can so that you don't form these blood clots and stuff. Then it's too late to deal with it.
Well, historically speaking, what were you saying just before that? Historically speaking, there is much evidence that shows that those in power have always been proactively hunting for the elixir of life and a cure for mortality. Is this still the case? And is this actually a quest for immortality? And is the depopulation agenda inextricably linked in some regards?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, our first like epic piece of literature, I think that I'm aware of, is the Gilgamesh, and a big part of that theme was the main character was looking for immortality, and with the ancient Sumerians, or Babylonians, I forget. But I think, and again, this is speculating because I'm not the psychopathic authoritarian that's running the show here, but it appears to me that, yeah, this is a depopulation campaign because these psychopaths think that, one, I think they're looking at it like, if we get rid of 90% of humanity and we have today's technology and resources, this is like a garden. But I think that they also really don't believe, I think they're just such hardcore materialists that they don't believe that there's anything after this, or that they've really bought into the lie of materialism. Because honestly, and this is something people need to understand, because really I'm thinking of writing a book, You're Gonna Die, Get Over It. But because non-existence is not a scientific hypothesis. You can only conceive of non-existence while you're in existence. It's just a big cosmic joke. But I think that you got to look at what these people say. I mean, you got people like Dr. Yuval Noah Harari, over that professor in Israel, they're talking about, you know, human beings are hackable animals. Human rights are a thing of the past, like a figment of the imagination. And then you've got, Klaus Schwab, you're going to own nothing and like it, all this crazy stuff. So, I mean, listen to what they're saying. Who would say such nutty things like that? And so what was the original question? Did I answer it? I don't even remember.
It was basically about, is this just a case? Is the depopulation agenda and the search for the elixir of life inextricably linked? And I think you kind of did.
I believe it is. I think what we're looking at is a controlled demolition of human civilization.
So, that's the best way. If the Malthusian element are within the medical world is currently on top, how do we change that dynamic?
That's a difficult question. I believe that asymmetrical warfare requires asymmetrical resistance. I don't believe anything should be off the table. I'm not going to sit here and tell you peace at all costs. I'm going to say we keep escalating until we win. I'm not going to tell you to be stupid either, but we're in a dilemma because here's the deal. In the United States, it's probably the same everywhere, but I don't even know if we have real elections. Our elections are on a computer, and I have no way to verify the authenticity of that. And looking at the behavior of our elected officials, it's pretty clear that they're either cowards, corrupt, or out of touch. So are they all being blackmailed, threatened, bribed, combination? I don't know. But they seem to have a lack of fear from the public of getting voted out of office. I mean, we just saw these nuts in Congress, like waving Ukrainian flags. Like, they're fleecing us, getting us closer to like a global nuclear war, and they're waving Ukrainian flags. I mean, you have to not be afraid of getting voted out of office to take some of the positions they take. That's just one example. I mean, in the United States, our borders are literally being overrun. And these aren't, you know, like the typical migrants that would come here looking for a job. You've got young men coming across here that, you know, and you know, they're probably setting up to do some false flags here. You know, they're trying to polarize people with the Israeli-Palestinian thing. And then they'll do some false flags here. And those same lunatics that were saying you should wear a mask will be telling you got to go through the metal detector to go to the Dunkin' Donuts and the Starbucks and, you know, want to take your guns and that kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you one thing that I'm going to tell you right now. It's our guns that saved us this past time around. It was the pushback in Florida that changed it here. Because the difference here is, I'm going to tell you right now, my Republican friends up in like some place like New Jersey, they're all, half of them are afraid of guns. Half of my Democratic friends down here carry. It's a cultural difference. And that's why when we have you'll see like a spree of carjackings and that kind of thing. They're hitting people from New Jersey or New York because that little old lady driving the car over there is probably packing. I'm not going to carjack her. And the balance of power between government and its people rests on that ability. The biggest lie ever told is that the pen is mightier than the sword, because the people saying that, their pen is backed up by the sword.
No, you just nailed it in that sentence. That's for sure. I know that for all my experience tells me that. And you were talking about Yuval Noah Harari and the World Economic Forum, of course. I've done a load of work on their agendas, and of course, the rise of Klaus Schwab is probably my seminal work. His funding via CIA conduits when he was going through training through Kissinger's international seminar, and that kind of links us with this whole new world order creation of the past. And this world order now, the prevailing world order, is that new world order creation that has been created from the past. Just to move on, there was a celebration recently of the Oxford AstraZeneca jabs were withdrawn due to the risk of clotting. Do you think people behind the experimental medical interventions, these jabs, should have their immunity from prosecution withdrawn?
I think it's a lie that they have any immunity. I think that's been a psyop that a lot of people bought into, because what wipes out any immunity shield? Fraud. So if I'm saying a product is safe and effective, we had data before it came on the market that it was not safe and effective. You had early data that people were getting sick and dying, and you still have that data, and you're still saying it's safe and effective. That's fraud in any real reality. So I'm going to say there was never, besides they violated their contracts, even in like in the United States, their contract said it was supposed to be safe and effective. The other thing about that emergency youth authorization, even just table what I just said, even though that's all true, it's really important that people understand the emergency powers clause of the United States Constitution. Oh, wait, it doesn't exist. Well, that's what you need to understand.
Yeah.
So it's all a lie. They just build one lie over the other one. So I don't see any immunity there. What needs to happen is people need to get angry enough. Instead of this cognitive dissonance, like we were talking during the break, people need to wake up to the fact that their family members are dying right now because they were lied to. You were lied to. You got this shot. Hiding your head in the sand is not going to prevent you from getting sick or anything like that. What you need to do is get angry. That's a normal response. That's an authentic anger because you've been violated. You've been raped. Your grandmother's been raped. Your children have been raped. You've literally been raped. Are you going to get angry and fight back? Or are you going to sit there and pretend it was, you were out on a date?
Spot on, Dr. Joseph Sansone. We're going to leave it there because that's a perfect way to end it. Thank you for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show and explaining to us in detail all of that.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Right. Well, thanks for sticking with us on the Johnny Vedmore Show. That was mind-blowing. It blew my mind. Remember to go to tntradio.live and get in the chat. Ask a question or two if you want. I always appreciate your interactions. We'll be right back after the headlines on today's News Talk TNT.